Luke chapter 1, verse 5. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous. Everybody say righteous. Yeah, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both well advanced in years. In other words, they were old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before he is born. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. "The Lord had done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Here it is. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months and then returned home. It's a lot of reading, but that's good reading. And it was a lot of good truths in there, and the message was pretty much already preached by just reading the Word of God. But my assignment for the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes, is to just kind of extract some truths that we can just leave with it today. First of all, I want to just do a little sidebar here. And the sidebar is about Zechariah. I want to just encourage somebody out here. I just felt this of the Lord to say this. If you look, Zechariah was there doing his duty. Again, by lot, it was his opportunity to serve there in the temple. And while he was there serving, the angel appeared and said this, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. But when was he praying? He wasn't praying then. The scripture says later on that he would say, but I am an old man and my wife is, you know, she's up there as well. So we know that he wasn't at that time praying for a son and praying for a child. But this is to remind us that, you know what, your prayers never go unheard or unanswered by God. Because years later, think about this for a second. Years later, the angel says that God has heard your prayer and your wife will have a son. And here's what you're to call him. What I love about that passage there, just that thought, is that Zechariah, think about this for a second, he's serving God. He's one of the priests. He's there encouraging people to draw near to God. And even those who draw near to God, and not only that, the scripture says that they were righteous in the sight of God. They were doing everything God commanded them to do. And even though they were doing everything God commanded them to do, the very thing they desired didn't come to them when they wanted it to come. But yet, years later, because he didn't allow the fact that he didn't get what he wanted when he wanted it, he didn't allow that to keep him from God. As he continued to be faithful to the Lord was faithful to him. And years later, he received the promise, or I should say, the thing that he was asking for, which was for a child. So why am I saying that? Because maybe you're here today. And I want to encourage you to be like Zechariah. Don't be discouraged. Don't be sad and down. Listen, let me tell you something. As you bring your prayers before God, the scripture says that prayers are kept in bowls in heaven. And you just never know when God, and I hope I'm not being irreverent about this, but you just never know when God says, now is the appointed time for this one right here. For your loved one that you believe in God for that school you're looking to be a part of, that job some of you are believing God for. Listen, prayers do not go unanswered. Don't think it's a waste of time. It's never a waste of time. Just be faithful to continue to serve the Lord. And at the appointed time, what it is that God has for you will come to pass. You've been doing a series on friends. People who stand with you. A brother is born for times of adversity, the scripture says. Friends, those who come and stand with you, those who are called to encourage you, that's what a friend is supposed to do. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the scripture says. And that means that you got to have people in your life who are not afraid to tell you the truth, even though it hurts. You don't want people in your life who are going to just tell you what you want to hear. You know, oh, bendito, or just rub your back. It's going to be okay when it's not going to be okay. You want somebody to tell you, men, man up. You want somebody to tell you, ladies, lady up. I don't know if you really say that, but I just felt it was right to say. But you want people to just stand with you and to just speak truth to you. One of the Proverbs that I love, I believe it's Proverbs 28:23. It says, he who rebukes or corrects finds favor in the end than the one who speaks with a flattery tongue. I hope you're like me in this degree, to this extent, I should say, which is I don't like people to just stroke me. Because now you see me headed down the wrong way and you don't stop me, then you're not really a friend of mine. Better that I be mad at you now and thank you later than to thank you now and be mad at you later. Do I get an amen? So you've been learning about friendships. You've been learning about godly friendships and ungodly friendships. You've been learning about who you should link up with. And so as I read this passage of scripture, as it was given to me about Mary and Elizabeth, they asked me to just kind of talk about this. When I look at this and as I've been pondering it and just saying, God, help me with this confidence in Christ. What do you want to say? I feel like God just recently just dropped this in my heart. What is all really all about? And it's about what he's deposited in you and the fact that you need people in your life who are going to help you to fulfill what it is that God has in store for you. Because here's the thing, you need faith fuel, friend, is what you need. Faith fuel, friends, is what I need. People who are going to fuel my faith. Not people who are going to rob my faith. People who are going to keep me going along. You know, what I love about God is that he did that with Abraham, who's the father of our faith, the scripture speaks about. And now how he told Abraham, you're going to have, you know, your seed will be blessed and so on and so forth. And every step of the way, right when Abraham was about to get discouraged, the Lord would say, look at the stars, so shall be your descendants. Okay. And when he got discouraged another time, look at the sand, so shall be your descendants. You know, God is always doing that. God is always reminding us about the great things that he put in store for us or the great things he has in store for us. So we need some faith-fueled friends. What I read here in this passage here, it talks about the fact that John the Baptist, this son of theirs, would be great. Jesus will be great. And I want to say this to you, the same way that John the Baptist would be great and Jesus would be great, that, and this is the greatness that God put in Mary, the greatness that God put in Elizabeth. Guess what? There's some greatness that God has put in each and every one of you. There's something great God has called you to do. You know how I know that to be true? The scripture says that I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope in the future. And how many will agree with me in this, that when God does something, he does great things. God is good. God is great. And everything he does great. And so he says, I know the plans I have for you, each and every one of you, no matter who you are. I say it every time I come here. I don't care how you got into this world. God had you in mind when you came into this world. And there's something specific that he put in each and every one of you to do. And let me tell you something. It's something great. It may not be great in the eyes of men. Men may not applaud you, but heaven will applaud you as you do what it is that God has purposed you to do. Greatness in each and every one of you. Ephesians 2:10 says this, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. There's something great God has in store for you, each and every one of you to do and for me to do. And so when I look at this story about Mary and Elizabeth, again, it reminds me about greatness in them. But again, how would that greatness come to pass? Because how many know you can have greatness, but if you don't have people encouraging you, you know what? You can lose sight of the fact that there's some greatness in you. Proverbs 13, verse 20, one of my favorite verses, says, he who walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And so what does that mean? You got to walk with people who are wise so you can become wise. It's just like those of you who may be married here. You need to walk with wise couples so you can be a wise couple. There are those of you in here, you know, you aspire to whatever. You need to walk with those type of people. Why do you go to school and major in what you major in? You're majoring with people who are doing the things that you desire to do. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. So you have to walk with those who are walking in greatness. And guess what? The greatness will come out of you. Verse 15 and verse 32 talks about the fact that John was great and that Jesus was great. But when you hear that greatness is in the inside of you, let's look at Mary right now. You know what? You can be startled by that, which I'm sure she was. Because wait a minute, what do you mean I'm going to now have this Son of God in me? When you hear that God wants you to do something great, you know, I don't know about you, but when God spoke to my heart about the call of God on my life, listen, it startled me because I was a rascal. Well, I still am, but I was a rascal. And I'm thinking, God wants to do that with me? And I realized right then and there that I can't continue to hang out with the people I was associating myself with, because you know what? They can't fuel what it is that God has put in the inside of me. And I imagine Mary, just think about Mary for a second. Mary's being told, Mary, I know you've never been with a man, but let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to become impregnated and you're going to have a child. Now, who does she go around to tell that to? Who does she tell that to? People will look at her like you're looking at me right now, like you're crazy. What do you mean the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you? Yeah, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon me. This is what God told me. And you know what happens when you go to the wrong person? They'll tell you that you're crazy. They'll tell you that's not God. That's the pizza you had last night. You better leave Domino's alone. It's not real pizza anyway. That's what they'll tell you. Because it just seems too good to be true, too great for it to be something that happens with you. But that's what I love about God. God, what God does is he takes, we were just talking to Elder Richie and I, we were just in a brief conversation here, just, you know, God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. That's what God does. So imagine, this seems foolish. What do you mean that you're going to become overshadowed by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So being that there's no one she could talk to, when the angel said to her, even Elizabeth in her old age is now with child. Oh, something must have welled up on the inside of her that said, you know what? I need to get with somebody who something impossible has happened for them as well. Because see, when I get with somebody who has something impossible happen with them, we can encourage one another. See, because nobody, we're not going to think each other's crazy, because I know what God's told you. You know what God's told me. We're not going to bug out. We're just going to rejoice in what God has done. But when you go to somebody who doesn't know it, they look at you like you're crazy. And the fire you have for God begins to just get doused out because there's no fueling of the faith. So you got to be mindful who your friends are. This is what you've been hearing. Who are you surrounding yourself with? You know, I heard this quote, and I believe it to be true because I trust the person who said it. And they said that, think about five friends, your top five friends. And what he said was that we are an average of our top five friends. So your personality, who you are, it's really an average of the people that you surround yourself with. So that would be good for us to do some inventory right now, right? And the truth of the matter is, many of us can attest to that, can't we? Because sometimes when you're talking with your friend, he or she finishes your sentences for you, right? Because we're like those people. So who are you surrounding yourself with? I love the fact that Mary said, no, listen, I can't hang around with these people here in Galilee because nobody's going to believe me. Everybody's going to think I'm tripping. So you know what I'm going to do? Let me tell you what faith, let me tell you what somebody who has greatness on the inside of them do. She said, listen, I'm going to travel 3 to 4 days. And I know it's about 80 to 100 miles. You know what? I know I'm a female and I'm alone, but you know what? I'm going to get to where I need to get to so that this faith of mine can be fueled. So that this greatness that I'm carrying, that I won't become discouraged. Because see, if I stay here, a lot of things are going to happen. As I begin to grow, so do the rumors begin to grow. So now I got to isolate myself, not from people per se, but I got to isolate myself from the noise. You know the noise, right? You know what people say about you. I don't have to get in your business. Let me become a prophet now and say, you know what people are talking about you. You know the noise. Well, she had to get away from that. And she went and she got alone with Elizabeth. And what I love about it is that she got with somebody who had faith. It wasn't just so much, and this is important, and we're all mature adults here, so just flow with me here. It wasn't so much just that Elizabeth believed what her husband told her because Elizabeth wasn't there, but Zechariah was there. But when Zechariah came home, he said, babe, or bae, or whatever he called her, an angel spoke to me. And what we were praying about 40 years ago, because now we're like in our 70s, the angel said, we can do this now. Now, she could have said, stop playing. But she didn't say stop playing. Well, I wasn't there, but she didn't say stop playing right away. I do know this, though. Maturity, you know, sweeping over the place. Something happened. And as a result of something happened, because the only one who had an immaculate conception was Mary, not Elizabeth. You all with me? Moving right along. So again, faith without works is dead. So it wasn't just believing that there's some greatness in me, right? But now I had to act on it. So this is why Mary said, you know what? I got to get to a place where I'm around people who act on faith. I got to get around people where when they hear the word, they act on the word. They don't just stand there listening, but they go, what? God said I could do what? And they begin to act on it. So here's Mary. Imagine she gets around someone who acts on the word, and that would be Elizabeth. Because as iron sharpens iron, so one person what? Sharpens the next is what the scripture says. Here's the next thing that happened. When Mary comes on the scene, see, this is the power of the word. This is why you have the gate, and this is why you have other groups that you have in Sunday mornings, because the word does something. So imagine this now. Mary comes on the scene, and as she comes on the scene, the scripture says this in verse 41 and verse 44. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she went on to say, blessed are you among women, and you know other things, and about how the baby within her leaped for joy. Listen, why is that so important? Because I'm sure as Elizabeth saw Mary, and then what Zechariah said, the angel told her, which is that the baby before he's born will be filled with the Spirit. When she saw Mary and that thing happened where the baby was filled, she got encouraged as well. That yes, my son, this child will be exactly who it is that God said he would be. Because I'm pregnant. Yeah, that's a miracle within itself. But you know how we get? God drops something in us. We see a little something happening, but we wonder, but will it really be everything that God said? Am I the only one? Or do you all get that way sometimes too, right? It's like God does a little something, but is he going to do everything that he said he's going to do? So the moment that baby leapt in her, it was like, oh yeah. Everything God said that's going to happen with this child is going to happen for this child. Because the moment Mary came on the scene and she knew right then and there, you must be the one that's going to be holding the Messiah. Because when Christ met John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit filled him, filled her, and the word that was prophesied came to pass. Do you know why? Because every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Why am I saying this? Because I don't know what God's put in you. I just know he's put something in you. And I just know this much. If you don't get around, the reason why maybe many of you are not stepping out and doing that new group or that new club. Or listen, look, Snapchat and all these other things, they started not with people in their 50s and 60s. It started with people who are young adults. Now, I'm not talking about making a dollar only. I'm talking about, hey, making a dollar, but using it for the kingdom purpose. I'm just saying, there's things that God has put in each and every one of you. I don't know what it is. I just know it's something, but you won't do it if you don't get around people who can speak life over you. And so when Mary came on the scene and Elizabeth said, oh, yeah, blessed are you, mother of, you know, the Messiah, I'm paraphrasing here. She said, because when you came on the scene, the baby inside of me leapt for joy. He leaped for joy. In other words, she was reminded Mary about the word that was given to her. Seeing what was happening as the word was in her, she was encouraging her with the word, because that's what the word is supposed to do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And isn't it like that? It's like you can come into a church service and you come in all down. Pastor Carter Collin begins to preach. David and Pastor Pierre, whomever. And when the word goes forth, something happens on the inside of you. Am I right or wrong about it, somebody, right? Because that's what the word is meant to do. The word is meant to bring faith to you. And so it wasn't a written word, but it was a spoken word. But it was the word of God that came to pass as she came on the scene. And so there it was. When she reminded Mary of the word that was going forth, Mary began to sing a song. Because now Mary knew, hey, what he's done for you, I'm looking at the miracle. I know he's going to do for me. And she began to sing the song. Y'all don't want me to sing, do you? But I'll say, my soul glorifies the Lord. Y'all don't want me to rap it. Y'all better just say amen to this stuff, okay? Right? But here's my point with that, okay? My point is that she realized God's doing something here. I had to get away from all of that and get next to somebody who can fuel my faith. You need to get with somebody who's going to fuel your faith. I told you, I don't have a sermon for you. I just got a little thought for you, but I hope this is a thought that you can leave out of here with. I love the fact that she stayed with her 3 more months. That's what it ends with. She stayed with her 3. She's like, listen, I ain't leaving here. This is a good place. Because every month I see that baby growing in her, I'm going, ooh, look what God's doing in me too. See, that's what true friendship does. I celebrate what God's doing in your life as he's doing it in my life. And for 3 months, and it wasn't just spiritual, where they weren't just talking about the things of God, but you know what else Mary was doing? Mary was making things. I'm sure she was helping Elizabeth around. Elizabeth is in her 70s. Can you imagine in her 70s and 80s, whatever the case may be? Hey, you need a little help, but now you're pregnant, you need a lot of help. So here's this young teenager who's also practically just helping her out. So I'm grateful today for Faith Fuel Friendships. Again, just a little thought to hopefully help you, because some of you, like me in my life, you've surrounded yourself with people who have robbed you of your faith, who have not deposited faith in you. What does the scripture say? Bad company what? Corrupt good what? Morals. But you know what it does? It robs you of your faith. When you surround yourself with people who are doing ungodly things, your thoughts become ungodly. Your life becomes ungodly because your beliefs dictate your behavior. And where your mind goes, your body follows. And this is why you and me, yeah, you may be 16, 19, 26, or 46 like me. Hey, listen, we got to get around people who are going to fuel our faith. Because just the same way God's deposited something in you, God's deposited something in me. And I know he's not done with me yet. I ain't dead. And neither are you. So I pray that you would do like Mary did. After God put something in your heart, find somebody that God has done something great in their life, or God is doing something great in their life, and you know what? Attach yourself to them. Do what you got to do. Don't be embarrassed. She went 80 miles to get to where she knows she needed to be, where she knew she needed to be to fuel her faith. Maybe some of you need to come across some of these aisles. You've been looking at that guy, guys, that is. And you've been looking at that guy, and you're like, man, I look at the way he worships. I see he doesn't care what anybody thinks. You know, I need to get around that guy, but I'm too shy. Don't be too shy. Go up to him, introduce yourself. Go across the aisle. Same thing, ladies, Ruth and Naomi. You all follow what I'm saying to you? Can we bow our heads and close our eyes for a second? Father, you know, I came tonight, Lord, with just a little simple thought. Not just for the young adults that are here, but for myself included, Lord. Because, oh, how I need to continue to surround myself with people who you're using for your glory and who are not afraid to be used by you for your glory. I'm so grateful for Mary and Elizabeth, Lord. And I'm grateful for, I know there's just so much more that we could talk about in terms of their relationship. But for our purposes tonight, Lord, I'm so grateful that both of them said yes to you. Mary didn't say, how can this be? She knew you were able. She said, how will it be? Just tell me what needs to happen and how will it be? And then she said, may it be according to me, may it be done to me according to your word. God, I pray first and foremost, Lord, if we're going to do anything great for you, help us to be like a Mary who says, may it be to me according to your word. May we be like an Elizabeth who hears the word and are inspired by the word and act on that word. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by us just thinking about it. It's going to happen by us being moved by your spirit, obeying your word, and allowing what it is you want to do in us to happen through us. As we've been learning about friendships, Lord, I pray each and every message, each and every talk, Lord, will continue to resonate with us. I pray that we will hold on to the truth of the word that we've been hearing. And that, God, when we walk out of here, Lord, we will attach ourselves to people who are doing great things for you. They may not be leading a revival. They may not be filling up stadiums, but they may be people who are bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young men who are living for Jesus. Young women who are living for Jesus. Young men and young women who know their word, not just quoting the word, but living the word. God, that we would just attach ourselves like a Saul did with a Barnabas, and then he went from a Saul to a Paul. God, may that happen with us, oh God. Nothing's too hard for you. May we not feel like there's nothing on the inside of us. The devil is a liar. You've put greatness in each and every person that's here. May we not feel like because of our circumstances, we'll never achieve. Are you kidding me? Elizabeth was away in her 70s and you did something great with her. Here was a young teenager and you were doing something great with her. So it doesn't matter which stage of life we're in. God, you can move in our lives if we just say yes to you, oh God. It was never meant for man to be alone. That's what your word says. It was meant for us to have friendships. Two are better than one. For if one falls, there's another one there to pick them up. That's what your word says. Jesus, the Son of the living God, yes, had 12 disciples, but he had three that went with him everywhere he would go. I'm reminded of when Jesus went into Jairus' house and people were wailing and crying and carrying on, and he kicked everyone out and just brought in a few that he knew would have faith to believe. God, may we do the same thing, Lord. May we travel with those who have faith to move mountains. May we travel with those who would speak life into us by speaking your word over us, oh God. I thank you for what you're going to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone here, that you feel like God has put something unique in you to do. You from the moment I begin to say it, it resonated with you like, yeah. And maybe you felt like, man, that's just crazy. Why would God want to do that with me? I'm telling you, the Lord is saying, I want to do that with you. I think it would be fitting for us just to pray for you tonight. If that's you here and you would say, I feel like God has put something on the inside of me to do that would be great for the kingdom. I want you to stand and stand quickly if that's you here. Just stand and stand quickly. I don't care if it's 5 of you, 100 of you, just stand. And don't look to see who else is standing. This is you. All those who are standing, I want you to come quickly now to the altar. The altar is a place of surrender. Just come. Come, it's a place where we lay our lives down. And as you come to the altar, I imagine there are leaders and youth leaders and people who are going to help pray. But as you come and just stand and face the altar, just lift your hands as a sign of surrender and just surrender fresh to the Lord today. That's what Mary had to do. And even Elizabeth, she had to surrender to your word and not by what her stage in life was saying. Maybe we can sing a song that speaks about surrendering. And don't wait for someone to pray for you. You just pray right now. Just talk to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I say yes to you. I say yes to you, Lord. I'm standing here too, God. I say yes, Lord. To your will, to your way, Lord, whatever you want to do, Lord. Even as Mary went to Elizabeth and spoke with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth spoke over her. God, lead us to our Marys and lead us to our Elizabeths, oh God. Lead us to people that can speak into our lives and lead us to people that we can speak into their lives, God. Holy Spirit, sweep over this place, Spirit of the living God. Oh, what the enemy tried to douse out, oh God, ignite the fire again. Oh God, may they fan into flames the gift of God that's within them, oh God. That ability to communicate, oh God, that ability to draw, the ability to speak, oh God, the ability to gather people, Lord, the ability to create community, Lord, whatever you put in them, oh God. God, I thank you that you've destined each and every young man and every young woman, every man and every woman, everyone in this building, God, everyone on sound, on lighting, on the instruments, God, you've destined us for greatness, Lord. Not money, God, but greatness in the sight of God Almighty. Greatness to do great things for you. It may be to speak to one specific person, but that will be the greatness, oh God. Because who knows, but that may be the next Billy Graham. So God, today I pray, would you remove all shyness, oh God? Will you remove all insecurity, oh God? Will you remove, oh God, looking at ourselves and comparing ourselves to others and help our eyes to be upon you? Let there be confidence in Christ today. For you are the one who created us. It's for your will and for your purpose that we have been made, oh God. And so, Lord, tonight we say yes to your will, oh God. We say yes to your way today, oh God. We're not going to look at ourselves anymore. We're going to put our eyes on Jesus, who is still the author and the finisher of our faith, oh God. So, God, I don't care what background they come from. I don't care what home they find themselves in, oh God. Jesus, you were born in a stable where it was smelly, where it was stank, but there it was. That's where you were born because you've come, oh God, into those places to bring life, oh God. And, God, you're going to do it even in their homes, oh God. So, God, today, we look to you today, God. We look to you today, oh God. We look to you today, oh God. Whatever is trying to hold us back, oh God, we look to you today, oh God. Break every shackle in the name of Jesus. Break every shackle in it. You know what, everyone that's here? Come on, don't look down now. Look up. Come on, look up now. Begin to open your mouth and just begin to praise the Lord. Come on, we're not going to be down about this. We're going to be excited about what God's going to do. We bless your name, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. We praise you tonight, oh God. For we are fearfully and wonderfully made to do great things for the kingdom of God. We magnify your name, oh God. We bless you, oh God. We honor you tonight, oh God. We give no room for the enemy to keep us down today. Oh, greater is he that is in us than the one that is in the world. Thank you, oh God, for the good things you have in store for us to do for you, oh God. Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you tonight, oh God. We bless you. We honor you. We praise you tonight. Blessed be your name. 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 Come on, open your mouths now. Blessed be your name. Those are the instruments. Begin to pray. Play on the instruments. Come on. Let everything that have breath now begin to praise the Lord. Now is not a time to be down. Now is a time to rejoice in him. We bless you. We say like Mary, oh, my soul does magnify the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, oh God. Thank you for choosing us, oh God. Thank you for selecting us to do, oh God, what it is you've called us to do for the kingdom's sake, oh God. We bless you and we honor you tonight, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, oh God. Oh, we magnify your name. We magnify your name. We magnify your name, Jesus. We magnify your name, Jesus.